Welcome, everybody, to Inspiration in 10, where we share inspirational stories, articles, and Torah thoughts in memory of and le'ilui nishmat, my father, Harav Gershom ben Harav ben Zion. Tonight marks 7 years since the passing of my father, Rav Gershom ben Harav ben Zion. It's in his memory that this class has been dedicated for the last 6 years or so. And I know that some of you have heard me speak about my father and his journey, but on the night of his yahrzeit, it's only fitting to draw inspiration from the life of the man whom, together with my mother, may she be well and live to greet Mashiach, raised me, educated me, and provided me with the tools and strong convictions and direction, not to mention all the other things they provided me with, which eventually led me, through divine providence and the Rebbe, to be here as the co-director and the shlucha in the Center for Judaism of the Lower Fraser Valley, and in turn, hopefully, to be able to inspire all of you. I heard something this week from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson that articulated what many of us feel with the loss of a loved one. He said that when he was sitting Shiva, a relative told him that the loss of a parent, or God forbid, a child or close loved one, is like a gaping hole was dug right in the middle of your dining room. In the beginning, every time you walk from the kitchen to the living room, you fall right into the hole. Eventually, you learn to walk around the hole, but it never disappears, and every once in a while, you fall back in. Tonight, being the yahrzeit of my father, I prefer to walk around the hole by rededicating myself and hopefully strengthening others with the rich legacy that I carry. Briefly, my father, who was born in 1919 or 1921, the jury's still out on the year, to a large family in the city of Gulbaka, which was during some time part of Poland and during other times part of Russia. It depended on the day. At age 11, he already left home to study Torah, and due to the raging typhus, he didn't even return for his bar mitzvah. Definitely, I can't even fathom using the description childhood for the tumultuous times that my father lived in. At age 19 or 20, he was already on the run from the Germans. Through huge miracles, my father procured visas for life from the honorable Japanese consul Hiyune Sugihara, for himself, his brother Israel, his sister Fruma, and another brother Shmuel Avram also managed to get a visa. At an age when today's youth are at best stocking up their dorm rooms and enjoying frat parties, maybe traveling around the world to find themselves, or at worst, still gazing at their navels and maybe high on something, my father took responsibility for his siblings. They traveled the arduous journey of 6,000 miles by train from Vilna through Russia to Vladivostok. From Vladivostok, they took a ship to Kobe, Japan. Later, they were shipped again through Manchuria and then to Shanghai, China. He worked hard. He worked to procure food and medicine for his sick brother and others. And he married off a sister in the Shanghai ghetto. Eventually, he buried a brother who was sick from typhus, which was exacerbated by hunger, and he put in tremendous effort to obtain visas to America for himself and his relatives. He did it all while grieving in his heart for the world and for his parents and his family who had been left in the European inferno. Not even knowing for sure, not even getting confirmation of their deaths until much, much later. For most of his post-war life, my father hardly spoke about the choking losses that he suffered and the horrors that he had witnessed. I cannot even fathom the tremendous effort that it took for him to circumvent that deep, gaping hole on a daily basis for more than 70 years. Not only did he not allow himself to be frozen in grief, he made sure to truly fill that void in this world by continuing the legacy of those whose lives were snuffed out. It's divinely orchestrated that each year, the anniversary of my father's passing, occurs when we draw strength from the last week's portion of Maaseh, Journeys. It really struck me when I heard a very powerful inspiration on Parshat Maaseh in the name of the Holy Reb Shimon Amshinover, who was a mentor to my father in Shanghai during some of the challenging years of his life. We've noted in previous years that the Torah states, when recording the journeys of the Jews in the desert, Vayichtav Moshe et Motzehem l'Maseihem, and Moshe recorded their starting points for their journeys, and then it switches to the order, and it says, Ve'elu Maseihem l'Motzehem. These are their journeys to their starting points, all, of course, according to Hashem's word. Is this language superfluous? And why did they switch the order? Reb Shimon, as many other commentaries, explains, Motzeihem are tests, challenges in life. Maaseihem are smooth journeys. When everything goes well, smooth sailing, forging ahead with growth. He so beautifully explains that when he feels that he's forging ahead, he should have no doubt it comes from those difficult challenges in life that one struggles with. And the second part of the passage, when you think that you see someone sailing through and growing, investigate, and you will see that it all comes through those challenges which he met. The Hebrew word motza, it means to encounter. When you encounter challenge, know that it's in order to propel you to growth. And at the same time, if anyone seems to be going and going and growing, realize that it's the challenge, that challenge is the entire reason for his success. And that is what God values. Briefly, Reb Shimon added that if you picture a soul coming to heaven and they ask him, what goods does he have to offer? When he offers, well, beautiful prayers that he perhaps recited, smooth Torah learning that he accomplished, he's told, that's great, and yes, you'll be rewarded for it, but listen in. Here in heaven, there's plenty of angels who are programmed to sing God's praises. Show me an accomplishment that angels cannot produce, a faith of something that came through real challenges where you had to work on yourself to overcome those challenges. That's valuable currency in heaven. That is Maaseihem. Smooth journeys and accomplishments come only through Motzeihem, breaking oneself to rise above the great challenges in life. When I think of all the difficulties that my father faced, most of which I can't mention here tonight due to time constraints, the mountains which he climbed, yet all the while holding on faithfully to God in the Torah, I am in awe. Some of you have heard me read from the letters which my father wrote from Shanghai during very tumultuous times. After addressing some of the devastation and challenges in his life and in the world, he would finish the letters by discussing the Torah study and the observance of mitzvot that he and his friends were involved with. Not only did he never voice any questions about why God was turning over his world, his observance of Shabbos, of tefillin, of kosher, and all of the other mitzvot, as well as prayer and Torah study, was strong. The response of my father and his compatriots to a world that was filled with darkness was to fill it with light. He could have found many opportunities to guilt-free jump off of the Judaism train. You and I know very well that many, especially in today's generation, are traumatized and disconnect in much easier, less challenging circumstances. Eventually, my father came to America, and together with my mother, may she live and be well and greet Mashiach with all of us, they built a home predicated on Torah values, raising, thank God, a large family, paying all their tuition, never compromising on the commitment to that which God wants of us. Over the years, the more I learn and speak about my father's story, the more I am in awe of his fortitude and his accomplishments in the face of this adversity. One of the chief doctors who's working on the current COVID situation was asked, how is it that she doesn't fall apart while battling tirelessly to get this raging epidemic under control? You know what she said? She answered brilliantly, I have been training all of my life for this. The time has come for me to rise to the occasion and put all of what I learned in life to good use. The worst thing would be to take all of one's training in life and at a time of crisis to surrender to mediocrity. My father, as well as my mother and many of their generation, became the greatest version of themselves by putting their lifelong training into practice when it counted. They had been taught since they were babies that God's in charge, and we only get to see the small dots in front of our noses, which are part of God's huge mural. They rose to their calling in the most emphatic way by putting their trust in Hashem, in God, committing even more to Mas'ehem al pi Hashem. Their journeys were in accordance with God's will. And thank God, they reaped and they still reap tremendous benefits of having a beautiful family steeped in the rich heritage and legacy they carried and protected. I'll just conclude with a beautiful story and with one more short thought. Many of you have heard of Reb Shalom Mardechai Rubashkin, a father of a large family who had done so much good for the Jewish people and for his community, who had been sentenced to rot in prison for 27 years. Anyone familiar with the case knows that there was a lot of anti-Semitism involved in his cruel and his unjust sentence. Jewish people all over the world were praying for him, and there was a very hard-working legal team on the case. Many DAs had signed a petition requesting a non-guilty verdict. Many politicians got involved. The case was appealed many, many times, but to no avail. At the celebration for Shalom Mardechai's release, his lawyer, Gary Apple, spoke up and he said, "Shalom Mardechai, I have to tell you something which makes your release and commutation an even greater miracle than you know. About 2 days ago, maybe it was a day and a half ago, I received a letter in the mail. It was from the highest court of appeals that you could appeal to. We had appealed 3 times and we were refused. Basically, we had reached the end of any legal channel and there was no way to appeal further. It was concluded that you would serve your full 27-year sentence. I didn't share this devastating news with you because I didn't want you to be depressed." Shalom Mardechai Rubashkin then took the mic and he said with a smile, "Well, I have news for you, Gary. I received the same letter. I knew that my appeal was refused. I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to lose hope." Gary, the lawyer, then responded, surprised, "How could that be? I spoke to you that day when you received the refusal. You sounded so positive, even joyful. How could you be so joyful knowing that they had sealed your fate and that the plan was for you to be in prison, to live without your family for 27 years? Shalom Mardechai, true to his character, answered, "When I saw that all natural avenues to my release were closed, I knew that now I had only pure reliance on the Almighty and omnipotent God. He is really the only one in charge. And now that my faith could only be in his salvation, it would come. When I woke up on the day of my release, as I was accustomed to saying to myself every day in prison, I said, 'Today God will take me out of jail.' And indeed, miraculously, God did take him out." Without having to articulate it, my father knew that he was in Hashem's loving embrace, in God's loving hands. And even though according to the natural eye, his situation looked bleak, he knew that all was going according to God's plan. With that attitude, even when he wrote from the Shanghai ghetto, and he had lost so much of his family, and food and sustenance was very, very scarce, he was able to start his letter by saying, "We are thankful to God for health, for life, and for the peace that we've merited." With that attitude, when he was holed up in a church by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, and he finally received some water, he was able to use most of it to ritually wash his hands in order to pray. With that attitude, he was able to put one foot in front of the other after all the devastation and be part of that bridge that brought Torah and real Jewish values to America from the flourishing Jewish life of pre-war Europe. You know, if you ask a diamond expert what makes the diamond sparkle so much, he or she will tell you it's the amount of cuts that it has. My father's life certainly had a lot of cuts, but he used those cuts, the motz'ehem, the challenges that met him in life, to produce mas'ehem, a smooth journey, with the right attitude of, God, I'm in your hands. I know you have a plan. His diamond, full of cuts, was polished until it sparkled. It's no wonder that my father was so well-liked and respected in every circle. Tonight, as we say L'chaim to the sparkling soul of my father, Rav Gershom and Rav Ben-Zion, may his journey keep inspiring me and all of you to allow the challenges and the cuts in life to bring out the best in us until we sparkle. May we be truly confident that we are in God's embrace and whatever we encounter is part of the divine plan. So let's use his manual, the Torah, in order to succeed. May the neshama of Rav Gershom ben Rav Ben-Zion have an aliyah, and may he plead before God for all of his family and for the Jewish nation to have a true Yeshua, a salvation in every aspect that they need. Most importantly, that we experience the time of ultimate peace and perfection with Mashiach now. Thank you, everybody, for joining me in elevating the airwaves. L'Iloi Nishmat, my father, Rav Gershom ben Rav Ben-Zion. Please remember, a little light dispels a lot of darkness. And Shabbat in Surrey begins at 8:42.